Sorry. I already did. I forgot it wasn't mine. All that did was mark it off, but it didn't matter. Yeah, just extra. Let me do this. I'll get this. The piece bigger, so we can find the right thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm
ready. We are.
I just think it was before I kind of loose forgot my name.
Okay, it is 6:15 p.m. on Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. We will call the Common Council meeting to order. Stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Weigold.
Here.
Varga absent. Middleton.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on October 25th. Were there any changes or corrections?
I do not.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
I'm assuming that's a motion to approve.
Yes.
Okay.
Can she do it since she wasn't here?
Yeah.
No, I was here.
She was there. Jenny wasn't here.
Oh, Jenny.
I'm sorry. Okay. Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Further discussion? Okay. All those in favor, so that equals sign. Jennifer, Dan, and Walt approve. And Jenny abstains.
Yes.
Okay. So the first thing on our agenda is to swear in new police and firefighters, and we are not doing that tonight. We will postpone that. For a plethora of reasons, we'll postpone that. We're excited to have the new individuals in the city. So next up is the rezone request for 113 North 200 East in Espic Printing. Walmart. And Nathan, we'll go ahead and start with you. Apologize, working around the computer.
That's okay. I'm used to it. So as you might recall, this is a request for rezoning from R3 multifamily to GP general business over on 200 East, kind of on the northern fringe of Eagle Glen, across the road from Clever Ridge there. This would be an extension of an existing strip of GB that extends south of 205. This is a portion of it is developable, a portion of it is wetland. That's already accounted for on the plat of Eagle Glen. The wetland is in a block area. For convenience sake, the whole piece together, both developable and undevelopable, would be rezoned GP as a request. This was before you.
A month
ago. I don't remember.
A month ago.
Okay, a month ago. And there were some questions raised, and because Mr. Essig wasn't here to be able to answer some of them, he's tabled it till this meeting. So he is here tonight, hopefully to answer your questions and address your thoughts. So, okay. Any questions for me?
Question. So on page, as a reminder, page 5 has the actual aerial, and then page 6 shows the, I guess, the impact, the two impacted parcels. So, Mr. Aspect, if you want to come on up.
Yes, sir.
And so the first parcel, which is the, I'll say, westernmost parcel there. Mm-hmm. I think it's western.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it the
northwestern something, yeah, whatever that is.
Is it marked 119 or?
Yeah, 119, yeah. So that is already zoned general business.
Correct.
Then the other two parcels are the ones that you want to turn into general business, right?
At least the front one.
Gotcha. Because of the wet part back there.
It is. It's water.
Yeah. Okay. So, Council, I knew one of the concerns you had was about just the area there, and I don't want to misrepresent your concerns because it's been over a month. So, Mr. Espick is here to answer any questions that you may have.
So roughly how many vehicles do you think will be going in and out on a daily basis, just because that is a residential area also?
Pretty low. The majority of my customers are actually out of state, so we ship those and then UPS picks up every day. My business is expanding rapidly, but it is more out of state. It's going to be a production facility we're building now on the first track of it. And so I want to get another one in the works in case we decide to add on. And, you know, it isn't going to cost. It took like 3 or 4 months to get to here between scheduling meetings and going to person and this. And so if we just get this out of the way, we'll be ready down the road if we decide to add on. To answer your question, we have pretty minimal traffic, maybe 10 to 12 customers a day. We're just for mostly local stuff. Businesses that come pick up, we'll do other stuff. And then we do have like a paper truck that comes in on every other day in the morning. UPS pick up, and of course, Amazon delivers everything.
Thank you.
So the first parcel, or the westernmost parcel, if you will, north or whatever that is, the big parcel, let's say it that way. Have you already started building? Is there a building on there? Is there not?
There is not.
Not yet.
We've got the land prepped.
Okay.
So I took it. There was an old railroad grade adventure there, so we had to do a lot of moving and clay.
Okay.
So we've got the panel homes ready. Wygen's supposed to be out the next week to do the final grading.
Gotcha.
We're waiting on the state right now to approve our plans.
Okay.
So pending that.
The building plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Is there any protection in place for the wetland area that's there?
From the new construction?
Mm-hmm.
Not right now.
Is there any plans to do that?
If it's required, yes. And I guess the building department would tell me that.
Yeah, our stormwater, John.
Yeah, we'll probably.
We'll probably help with the construction company there, because we do have minimum standards in regards to that as construction occurs there. So, yep. Probably be silt fence of some sort to protect. Mm-hmm.
If you were to develop those other two parcels or expand, is it an absolute that you would develop both of them?
Absolutely not, no. The backing step. I mean, you can develop anything with enough money, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not really doable. We would just need that small front one, maybe add on the parking lot a little bit, or put the add on the truck building a little bit. Maybe add in the trunk on the square feet. You may not even need a parking lot. We could use the existing parking lot that goes almost up to the edge of that. You want to try and resell them.
Okay.
Other questions? It's already been through Planning Commission, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Other questions? I don't want to keep Mr. Espick up there for no reason. So. Okay.
Good.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Appreciate it very much. Okay. So, with that, Nathan, you have any closing thoughts?
Just a reminder that you do have 90 days to take action
mm-hmm.
on it from the time of certification, which was middle of October. So
I'd say we're probably 45-ish days.
Yeah, you're approaching that, so just something to keep in back in mind.
Okay. Well, so we have the ordinance in front of us right now, so and we have tabled it. So do I have a motion to read ordinance 2022-31 by title only?
Second.
Motion by Dan, second by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Of those present, please read ordinance number 2022-31 by title only.
Ordinance 2022-31, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from the R3 multifamily residential district to the GB general business district.
So obviously you've heard the plan or the plans and the future plans there. Any other further discussion you want?
I do not.
Okay. then can I have a motion to accept a motion on ordinance 2022-41?
So moved.
And what is that a motion for?
To accept the ordinance as read.
Okay. So motion to approve ordinance 2022-31 by Dan. Have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Motion by Dan, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? Okay. All those in favor, show with the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
This will be up for second reading at our next meeting. Okay. Next up, we have a presentation by Gary Bird. Gary, come on up. I need a name and address, please, and then feel free to move forward with your presentation.
My name is Gary Bird, 709 West Park Street, here in Columbus City, Indiana.
Thank you very much, and excited to hear what your presentation is about. I've seen it, of course, but...
Okay. Well, for many years, I've been putting flags on the cemetery around our area, and there's about 3,000 veterans that we put flags out. And so over the years, I've noticed that, especially a lot of the older stones, the Civil War, especially Spanish American, has become discolored and planted over, and in some cases, we have stones that are just laying on the ground. And so with every year I see that as a fellow veteran, and it was kind of upsetting to me to see my fellow veterans, and this is how we are honoring them. So last fall, I decided, after consulting a group in the Legion group in Burma, in Decatur, they had started a restoration process, and I decided, hey, this would be a great activity for me to do here in Columbia City and in Pleasant County. So with that said, I put together a little 4-hour long PowerPoint for you. I'll kind of let you read it because I kind of like to just talk about it. With doing this, I will tell you that it's a massive project. It's not something that can be done in a short period of time. But I've had a lot of folks come out of the woodwork wanting to help. Rotary, Elks, Troop 83. Just goes on and on. People that want to help restore these stones. So with that, I also had to kind of dig it up in a couple of different bites. So I kind of created a couple phases. One, to get the veteran markers restored, so I kind of put that out on phase one. Some of you may or may not know that those markers are owned by the Veterans Administration. So they're very specific on how they are to be maintained and cleaned and so forth. And so I've spent a lot of time with the Federal Graves, Leavenworth, where they make the markers, and also with our national cemeteries on materials and so forth, as well as the group down in Burr and Decatur. So one of the projects is also straightened, doing the undermined holes. Sometimes the stones, I'll show you some samples, they just kind of, after being in there for 100 years, they kind of lean. Those stones actually, I can actually move them myself. They just kind of pull right up. I just need some gravel or something to pull behind it. They're not like the stones that we have today, but they're still on nice bases or sunk down in there, and they're not going anywhere. But these need some work. But I also understand that it may take a piece of equipment. So Mr. Moore, you need this equipment that I need at any time that I need to help do that. So I'm starting to get these folks to come out to help. We're also going to keep track of any non-veterans that may be toppled over, some of the stones, a lot of stones laying on the ground, and those may be veterans, may not be veterans, but we want to kind of note that as an Eagle Scout project that these are good for them, and they'll research it and put those back in the proper. If you remember about a year ago, Concord Cemetery up by Cherbusco, that went through a very total restoration. They researched it. They put all the stones back in there. If you haven't been there, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And this is just out on Thompson Road, I think is what it is. It's just out on the corner. It's a beautiful cemetery. So the cemeteries I've identified so far, as that's regional, in the city. Nope, that's where I'm at. And South Park and Columbia Township. Does everybody know what Columbia Township is? It's a good question. So, but I know where it's at because Joanne told me that she used to have to mow that. Her dad brought her off and then forget to pick her up. So she knows exactly where it is. He does cemeteries by request of family members of churches. We have several cemeteries that are managed by churches, and we want to make sure we get them involved as well. Example of one down in Decatur, Gary Murdoch, who's a fellow military guy. I've known Gary for a long time. We were in the cavalry together. And this is, you can see the stone on the left before they did anything, and on the right is the sort of the rest of the sword. He didn't really, he said there's better pictures than that, but I took it for what it was, if you could see how the improvement is. And I have some samples because I've ran some experiments of our own here. My job is coming here today, and I've been to the commissioners, I've been to the county council, getting ready to go to Rotary, but I've been to a lot of groups just to get the word out what we're doing. I was out to Green Hill on one of those nice days we had 2 weeks ago, and they were doing All Saints Mass at the Catholic, and I was just kind of, so a gentleman walks over and wants to know what I'm doing, and so I had a shovel in one hand and spray in the other hand, and I said, I'm not digging up your relatives, I'm fixing their stones, and he was all admiring the fact that I was doing this, he said, stones, and wanted to be involved with it later on once I got things going. So I said I'd be happy to have the Catholic Church involved with restoring some of the stones. So Joanne made me some signage to put up that says there's what I'm doing, and my phone number so you can call, see if you have any concerns with that. But I'm just trying to get the word out. Let people know what I'm doing and what others will be doing in the future. So this is kind of why I'm here today. There is no cost to our government, Rosie.
Yay.
So I'm not saving you any money, but I'm not going to cost you any either. This will be done by donation, and I do have a cost sheet for that, but that's the way that works. There may be a need. The county offered that if I need a bucket of gravel, help myself. I told them if I started using yards of gravel, we have a bigger issue. And I didn't know, but I also talked to Kelly Searball, and he offered the same thing. If I just needed like a bucket to backfill, mm-hmm. you know, straighten them up and backfill, that that wouldn't be an issue unless there's a yard or two, and we would take care of it. Here. I'm trying to communicate approvals, concerns, whatever on the project. Just trying to get everybody's buy-in on what we're trying to do to help these veteran cemetery stones and obtain all of and a lot of this has been done already since I've created the project. The cleaning solution that we use is called a D2. It's an environmentally friendly material. It basically eats the mold naturally off the stones. You really don't have to do anything but spray it on there and just let nature's rain and snow wash it away. But like some of our, I'm like McDonald's, you don't make it fast enough for me. So I like to wash it, scrub it, wash it again, because I want to see the results now, not a few days from now. Also, this material only works at about 45 degrees or warmer, so we're now in the winter months. But my goal is to, once we start in the spring, to try to get as many done as we can. So I hope to have the election completed by Memorial Day. That's kind of lit up on that. So I do have some experience. So just yes, I put out flights and materials, but this flagpole, is that look familiar?
It does.
City?
It does.
So now it's one of the city buildings forever.
Yep.
So this was a flagpole that we repurposed. It's out at Moat Cemetery, and there was actually, I think we counted 3 to 4 flagpoles in this area where this one's studied. We We dug down without brick, we dug down without wood, and we got, okay, there's been one here. Whatever happened to it, it's still there. So it's now really ready to back up again. And so we hope to continue that project. So this is some examples of stones. You guys probably, I can talk about some of it. I don't want to get anybody really in trouble. But you can see the stone at the bottom, Selden. Notice her stone has moved off its. Because they're pretty heavy. So we will put that back where it needs to go, and of course be cleaning it. I'm actually working on Mr. Washburn's stone before the weather changed. I was kind of working on his. And those are at Greenville. The ones at the bottom are at South Park. Again, these are a combination of the one on the far right at the Nolt. You can see him laying on the ground. So I've been in touch with the trustees about helping those out, and I've actually used the trustee in South Woodley to help kind of guide me on all that. He's all about it.
Sure.
So the one is a revolution, not as revolutionary war, and that's kind of a modern stuff. That's just in an area, so we'll run that one as well. So I'm going to kind of speed through here. The one on the top right, unfortunately that was at Greenhill. If you notice that the side, the mower blades have hit. So I contacted Leavenworth to see if I could get a replacement for that, but it takes a lot of paperwork to do that.
Sure.
So I'm working on that project to go ahead and see if we can get that replaced. And then the bottom is Columbia Township, and that tree's been there for 5 years, at least. And there are veterans there, and so hopefully we can get that cleaned up. Okay. So this is at Greenhill, and I like this guy's name, Effort. But if you notice, the one on the left, you can barely read it. And then after I finish with it, that's what it looks like. And you can pretty clear. So that's what I'm doing. This material is not rich in stone, and there is some necessary, within here for 100 years, some light brushing, especially if they get that hard, crusty, mossy stuff on there. Another example, he's my favorite person. If you go into Greenhill, he's by himself, he's right there by the road. If you turn left and go down the road straight, this is that's where the sparkler is. That's by itself, and he's always my favorite to put the flag out on because he's by himself. And I come to find out he's a Spanish American war veteran. Fought the Spanish American War. And I still haven't straightened his stone up yet. I still need to pull it. I just didn't have anything to put behind it, and I didn't want to move it and have it flop around. So this will be one I'll pull up and straighten up. But again, you can see, especially the top of the tank, that green stuff, and then you couldn't even read it. And then after I got done, you can see all the way down to the bottom where he's talking about war or victory. So that's it. These are the signs I was telling you about. It's,
questions of Gary?
A statement, I guess. Yeah. Like, I think that's really outstanding what you're going to do. That's, if needed, there's a lot of stones that are down in a lot of the cemeteries in the county, and it's a good way of showing respect. Other than calling you, is there any other way that people who would want to get involved might want to reach out to you?
I think that's just word out. You know, it seems like that's already, before I even got started, and people just, you know, just going like, why? You know, wish I could get that many people to help me put flags on. it's actually, I think, Facebook, I think we're supposed to
be doing
anything, I suppose the newspapers and stuff. But the Legion and all those groups, they all know.
You'll mentor everybody how to do it correctly.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm doing. I actually have a written process, and I'll be on the tails, in there will be a brush, all the stuff that you need, and then it'll be specific. That's why I was testing those stones. So I sprayed it, let it set overnight, soak it, and then I went back the next day, and I sprayed it again, and then I scrubbed it and washed it. And then I went back. Before I left, I sprayed it one more time, and that used about 10 ounces. more abandoned. I mean, this is a job that just takes one person to go out, spray, wash, spray, wash, and walk away, and we should be good. And now, I'm not getting some physical spraying and stuff, but we'll teach them that as well.
I've seen this done in other counties and cities as well, through working with our GIS. They put those markers on their website. And obviously, it's not only showing respect to the men and women that have passed on, but it also dresses up our cemetery immensely. And I'm curious as to, I know he says he wants our support, but is there financial ways of doing this, or do we have monies that could be directed towards this project?
Good.
I mean, I don't know what he's needing, but it's ran off of just opening and closing, and we don't have a lot of...
In the actual cemetery fund, so it would have to come from some other fund. But, and obviously, when we start a new year, there's new money, right? So that may be an opportunity. So if there are things that you need, I mean, I'm willing to buy a gallon of the stuff for you, Gary, personally. So I'd love to at least donate that for you.
I talked to Kelly, trying to get what his insight was. Go down to the guy digging holes, what your concerns, your thoughts, and this was before I did any of this. And he's all about any help to dress up the cemetery. And it can get overwhelming. My grand's been out with me, putting flags out, everything. I know she's cutting flowers up on the graves and doing all that maintenance. I'm thinking, honey, we don't have time for that. We'll never get done. So it's an ongoing issue to find that.
Is there a way you can come up with a dollar amount that, I mean, I know it's hard to speculate when you're doing all those, but...
It's a math. I mean, I know how many ounces to use. Some stuff is reusable, sort of like buying gloves, things like that. The popsicle sticks to use to scrape some of the hard material off, because it's soft wood.
Sure.
Those things are pretty easy to determine what the cost is. But the overall, don't fall off the chair, Rosie. But this is kind of what I came up with. And there's reoccurring, incurring, and non-reoccurring costs.
What's that say, 34?
It's 24. If I do all 352 veteran markers that I have identified,
okay. That's
how much it would be.
I can't read it.
I'm 24,000.
Well,
if he does all of them.
Yeah, all 352. And that's just worst case.
Mm-hmm. And what's the time frame? I mean, are you starting trying to get it done a lot this year?
I take it on the fact that it's going to be, because there's cemeteries all over to do. And so that's why I kind of just slice it down. If I could get the four cemeteries by Memorial Day, and then I'm also looking for, I don't want to say like a road cleanup thing, but like 2, maybe 3. They want to be able to go into the mill and take over. They want to keep the stones clean. They want to make sure they're fixed, and they want to take ownership of that. And so I'm hoping that maybe some other groups would do the same that might be interested in. And I have really not talked to any of the church groups. This actually came a little bit from a church group in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It was called the Maids, and they had these stones were all on top of the ground. It looks like somebody laying on top of the ground, but they're all white. And these ladies polish these things. And I just was amazed by how they did that. And so, we just want to get somebody.
So maybe one thing to consider is if there's a way to break down and give us what the actual cost of Green Hill is, since that's within our city limits. I think that would be maybe a starting spot for us, and then we can have some conversations of what that means financially and stuff. But I seeing the shaking heads down the row here, I think we all want to support you. I think it's a fantastic project and one that, again, I agree with Dan, brings both cleans up the cemetery, but also does bring honor to the individuals who have sacrificed for us, and so I think that's a great thing. Jennifer?
Kind of related to that, too, is there any chance that the city's buying abilities might be more economical than whatever he's
maybe
buying things like the gloves and whatever?
Yeah, we'll kind of, I'm actually going to a meeting on December 10th because the group I'm working with, they're actually going to be looking to do a not-for-profit staff. But they're buying it through a power washing company and buying this material through them, and they're getting some discount. By the way, never ever, it's against the law, the power wash at Veterans Market. Says so right on the, it's in bold letters, never power wash. And I had to talk to Gene Smith about this because really, they offer a service that you can go and power wash. And I says, well, they can, but not veterans.
Not veterans, yeah.
And those markers are technically owned by the Veterans Affairs Department. Mm. They do not want the power wash.
So how does, or, you know, there's medallions that stick in the ground of the military and then a flag on top. That's totally separate than just the hip.
Those are just like furnished by a grandad or somebody, or a family member.
Right, but
I know it's Legion, we give them, if you're a Legion member, we give you one of those. Same way the VFW, we give you one of those to put as a marker, but no, those are kind of family. These are the markers that you see that they put on the stone. And there's actually six different types of those. You can get a cross, like you see at the National. You can get the Lucian Buddhism symbol. But you can also get the white marble, like you see on the one that moved at Southman. Those are available as well. So there's several markers you can get for that.
So I just have a quick question, because I am a vet, and I didn't even know that there was markers put on the cemeteries. Like, how is that put in place? Like, do the VA, like the VA, the Veterans Association, or American Legion, or who's putting the markers for when there's a death of a military veteran?
Are you talking about the permanent stone or the...
Just the marker, because you said there's identified as markers on each one, correct?
Well, there's, I guess, two different things. There's the marker that the VA, Veterans Affairs, supplies.
Okay.
And then there's the marker that, like the Legion or VFW, the little round medallion that flagholds stick it on. Those are provided either by them or family members. But you do bring a good question. I had Joanna make me some stickers because I'm a veteran, because there's a lot of stones out there that I have you have no clue.
Correct.
And people call me and say, hey, you missed my Uncle Fred again. And I go, there's nothing on, they think we're national cemeteries that we have a recording of all that, and there's not. So I started putting these stickers on the top corner, so when I do put flags out, I don't miss them yet. Those are the three ways that we know, other than the Civil War, where they actually wrote right on the stone. And trying to teach Boy Scouts and so forth, even modern stuff, there's been people that put, well, my stuff, they have my military coin embedded into the stone. So if you look at my thing, you say, oh, that guy was in the military because he's got his coin embedded in it. So there are about 40 coins you can tell. But the one stone, that's usually conduction, you need the DD-214, which says that they were in the military, and a death certificate, and a family member can order that. They don't need to write anything, but a lot of times the funeral homes help with that.
Okay.
I've also helped with getting them.
I was just curious, because I think a lot of times veterans get overlooked and they don't know of all their options and benefits that they do have.
Yes.
So when you say, like, that markers can't be power washed per law.
The Veterans Affairs power.
Right. So are we talking about basically the like, bronze-ish? Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
Bronze
okay.
Ones.
The bronze ones, yeah.
Like those white ones that we showed.
Yep.
Or the crosses, or the...
Oh, any of those.
Yeah,
any of
those. Those are not the car wash.
Gotcha. Okay.
Technically owned by the Veterans Affairs.
Yeah. So more out of curiosity.
Careful about that. And that's why I was telling Gene. Well, they mounted those in the back, which at one point that was kind of illegal because the marker was for those veterans that did not have a marker. And it's got kind of over the years fudged a little bit. And they weren't supposed to mark it, put them on the back of the cemetery. It was supposed to stay on the ground. And that got kind of. So I kind of forewarned them that, or shared with them that maybe not really know that if they power wash the stone to have that on the back, be very careful not to get the power wash on that.
On that portion, yeah.
I'm sure Gary will be right out there, or
Crack it down.
So you're referring to this type of bronze?
Yes.
Okay.
And that comes actually the large size.
Right.
And it also comes in a smaller size.
Right. And this was coordinated through the funeral home to fill out the paperwork and get this particular, because the front side had all the personal information.
Right.
And this was all military on the back side.
Yes. So I had an uncle that donated his body to the medical. So yeah, he's not in the family cemetery. So he was in the Navy, so I got his paperwork and I ordered his marker. So so he'll have a marker in the cemetery even though he's not there.
Yeah.
And so if you can, if you know when you need a death certificate, you need 214 years in the military. And both of those you can get pretty easy. It's not real hard to get that document.
How long does it take to get those?
A while.
A while.
I ordered his back in May of last year. So I'm still waiting.
Whoa. So May of 21?
There's a rash of unfortunate veterans that the older veterans are dying. I mean, we did, I'm on the honor guard, and we've done 80 something over here, the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a large number of veterans that are happy.
Other questions for Gary?
No, thank you.
I got one.
Yes.
Those white ones down at the Green Hill, that some of them are cracking in half.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys repairing those with epoxy or something?
Yes, I have an epoxy that that's been approved to use on that.
Let me ask you this question. Is there any way, while you're doing this, if you see a rash of them, give us a call so we can try to investigate if this is actually, are they just getting old and brittle and breaking? Or
yeah,
if it's,
I can, yeah, I kind of know those. Yeah,
right.
Family jokes about my life and living out in the cemetery that we were out there, they say there's something wrong with the agate, just hangs out in the cemetery.
Right.
And
you're
actually, that's what the Catholic folks thought I was doing. They thought I was
vandalizing.
And I said, no, that's not the case at all.
Because I know some of them, if there's one tipped over, I mean, I could see if someone was out there vandalizing it, they would do multiple.
Right.
But if there's one broken half,
did
someone at night trip over it and break it off? Or?
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while.
Okay.
And I, like I said, I do 14 cemeteries in our area that I put flags on. It's roughly about $3,000. So some of them could use some work.
Because if people are vandalizing, we'd like to curb that.
Yes.
That's a problem, for sure.
Any other questions? Thank you, Gary. Thanks for your work. And again, we'll look forward to seeing some information about maybe how we can help.
Yes.
So.
Next spring.
Okay.
Next spring.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Okay. So let's go ahead and go to our next ordinance, which is the annual salary ordinance for non-elected officials. So can I have a motion to read ordinance number 2022-29 by title only?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2022-29 by title only.
Ordinance 2022-29, an ordinance to be known as the 2023 Salary Range Benefit Ordinance.
So you want to talk through that?
Yeah, if you want to, if you look at the ordinance that I put in your packet, the red figure over the right is mainly what it's increased to cover what people are making and to be able to give them a raise for the year. So those are the only ones that are getting changed are in red.
As a reminder, we have salary range for just about everybody minus, I think, police and fire. So when individuals get hired into those positions, depending on their skills and trainings and experience, they fall somewhere in that range, and then as they improve their skills and experience, then obviously they grow in those ranges, or obviously get promoted. So, not unlike anybody else.
The only other thing that was increased, if you look at the clothing, the benefit, we upped it from 11 to 13.
Mm-hmm. Which had been a while, I think, since we had upped that.
Yeah. For the police and fire's closing.
Any questions regarding ordinance 2022-29? Do I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2022-29 on first reading?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is ordinance number 2022-30. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2022-30 by title only.
Ordinance 2022-30. And fixing the annual salaries of all elected officials of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, effective December 31st, 2022, for the year 2023.
So this is the annual elected official salary ordinance. Rosie, do you want to talk any more about that?
It's mainly setting the salaries for the mayor, me, the council, and the Board of Works is actually on the employee salary ordinance.
It's basically the same as it was last year, what I'm saying.
So in this ordinance, Rosie and I both have the same that the employees had,
okay,
based on your past guidance.
Right.
But I don't think we did anything with the council, unless you all choose to do that, which certainly we can change the ordinance as it's sitting here in front of you. So it's up to you.
We're going to the mayor and the clerk's getting matching up with what our employees are getting. I'm okay with that myself. I don't, you know, this is going to be my 16th term, and the only time we've gotten a raise is if they had the 27th pay. Other than that, it's been the same for the last 15 years. With that being said, though, we're still making more than what a lot of other city council people are making. So I feel a little rough saying, hey, we need a raise when we're already making more than what some of the other councils are making. I'm struggling with that a lot. But yeah, everybody wants more money, but at the same time, I'm like, hey, we're already doing better than what other city councils are doing. So I don't know what some other people's thoughts. I struggle with that, honestly. Today's times are tough, but
let me make sure I'm clear real quick. And that's really, last year was a 27th pay year, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So
did you take last year's salary and you divided it from 27 into 26.
Yeah,
and then,
so they did. Yeah.
So just so you know, we took
every time we get a 27.
The 27.
Yeah.
That's when you get your raise. That's when you guys have chosen to kind of get your raise, which is fine. Again, I mean, at the end of the day, again, I still say that that I think it's really important that our council members are taking time and effort into, you know, developing ordinances and working with the population and serving on different boards and committees that I know you all serve on, different boards and committees on behalf of the city. I think it's important to do that. Again, I appreciate the fact that the council has been supportive of Rosie and I being at the same level, as at least at the same level as our department heads are. That hasn't always been the case, so I can say personally I've appreciated that, that we're, you know, basically paid at the same level as the department heads. I think that's a good place to be.
What the county council makes versus what we make.
A lot
more.
Twice
a month, yeah.
Right.
But I understand they got the whole county, but we have the city, but we still have a lot of many people that we represent.
Mm-hmm. And we meet more frequently. And
yeah, but no, I don't think we need that, but I was just, I don't know, I'm just a little perplexed as to saying, well, we're doing pretty well. But I don't know what everybody else thought.
I say the majority of, again, the committees that we're involved with is done at $0, but we have a lot of input of whatever committee you're on. I mean, it's a very active group. And so it seems like that we've been successful retaining the volunteers to be on the committees. And so I'm okay with where we're at.
I think one thing that, and you all have heard this, seen this, and experienced this, one thing that sets our city apart from many other cities and towns, and maybe even counties across the state of Indiana, is how well we work together. And this is probably not the appropriate time, but I do appreciate the fact that we all work together, and it doesn't mean we all have the same opinion on things, obviously. But I do think the way in which we work together, I think, is the important part. So I do appreciate that. So
the other thing is, very few cities have all the utilities that we have.
That is true.
We get water, sewer.
Yep.
Water.
Yep. We don't typically. A lot of cities don't have electric. There are obviously some, but not every city has electric. Not every city has water. Not every city has wastewater. We have all. Plus stormwater on top of that. So that is something, as you're doing comparisons with other communities and other boards, there's a lot more that we take on, and frankly have a lot more employees for communities our size because of the different utilities that we take care of. You know, as always, I'm always super uncomfortable about this conversation. I know you are too. It is something we have to pass yearly, but I know no one likes to have this conversation. So. What I hear you saying is you're good with the ordinance as it's set forth. Is that fair? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2022-30 as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous that those present will move it to second reading at the next meeting. Okay, the next two ordinances are ones that I think have came from State Board of Accounts. Is that fair, Rosie?
Yeah.
Okay, so can I have a motion to read ordinance 2022-34 by title only?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2022-34 by title only.
Ordinance 2022-34, an ordinance establishing a policy for electronic fund transfers and online banking for the city of Columbia City.
Go ahead.
Okay. So specifically, this didn't so much come from the State Board of Accounts, but our system now, we are doing, being able to pay vendors to bank and not having to write them checks. And so I feel like I need the protection that the council approves doing this. And sorry. And the other thing of it is, if we do the EFT or the ACH, I feel like we need an ordinance that you guys are approving that it's all right to do
that. The usage of that, of those mechanisms.
Is there a risk that we're not thinking about? So it sounds like a good program. So.
No, but I mean, there's a lot of things that I can do now with this program, but I don't feel comfortable doing it on my own without
sure.
You guys knowing about it, and
because sure.
They're giving information about our banking.
Okay.
Even though we're protected, it's still.
It's the difference between doing it electronically versus them getting a check and still having information about our banking.
Yeah.
It just delays their payment.
Yeah.
It's a paper cycle.
It's a paper cycle, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, And this is pretty, obviously, very common among businesses. So.
Yeah, they just take a snapshot of them.
Yeah.
So any questions, comments, concerns about this ordinance? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2022-34 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. We'll move it to second reading at the next meeting. Next up, do I have a motion to read Ordinance Number 2022-35 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance Number 2022-35 by title only.
Ordinance 2022-35, Ordinance establishing a purchasing policy for federally funded goods, materials, and services.
Rosie?
Okay, so this is one that the State Board of Accounts recommended that I do because we do with a lot, deal with a lot of federal funds.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you very much. And so there's, you know, kind of guidelines that we should follow when we're bidding out projects and stuff. And so they recommended that I get an ordinance established that kind of is guidelines that we use. Because the purchasing of it is a lot different than our city purchasing, like we do normally.
Can you talk a little bit, and I mean, I know every situation is a little bit different, but can you talk a little bit about those differences, or at the very least, like what changes that's going to make to our purchasing, I guess, process? And the reason I ask that is obviously as we, I mean, usually a grant administrator helps us through those mechanisms, right? So usually our grant administrator does that, but I guess I'm just curious because we just passed, what, a couple months ago, I think we passed a purchasing ordinance that updated the thresholds and things like that for our department heads and for us as a city, but I guess I'm just wondering what the difference is, if you can.
I don't have it in front of me, but it only applies if there's federal funds involved,
gotcha,
for one thing. So
anytime we get a federal grant, it's basically you have to follow the federal grant rules.
Right. I mean, that would be a really good way to put it. I mean,
you have to have sealed bids.
I don't think it really is going to change our processes that much.
I don't know.
But they wanted to see a full ordinance regarding just purchases for projects,
gotcha,
with federal funds. So we've just got this separate thing put together.
Gotcha. Any questions? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance Number 2022-35 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Well, it's unanimous of those present. Thank you. Okay, next up on our list is Arts Commission appointments. As you will remember, actually it's more than just Arts Commission appointments, but there are appointments that as we come to the end of the year that the City Council needs to make to different boards and commissions. As you'll remember, we passed a brand new Arts Commission that needs to be established. The City Council has three appointments to that Arts Commission. And so, Walt, I will pass it over to you.
Okay. Do you want to take one and pass it down, please? When you look, I'm sorry, Mayor. And Rosie, if you want one. And Marcia. Okay. So at the bottom of the first page, you'll see there's other appointments. We'll come back and review that in a little bit. This is not a ballot. This is a team effort to pick three from council. Get my notes here. So the mayor has four members to be selected by the mayor, with one actively involved in arts and related groups. The other qualification is
that three members can be selected by the common council. And if there's a council member that wants to be on the committee, we can have a maximum of two. Must be within the boundaries or the two-mile jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The two-mile jurisdiction. So this is kind of the, what I call the ordinance to establish the Arts Commission appointments. And each board member shall be for 4 years in length. And there's still a lot of information in there, but I think what the main thing is just pick out of the top half of the, on the front page, pick who you would like to see on the Arts Commission. And anybody can speak to anything or ask questions if you want to. The other thing is that Michael Lude, I don't know him. And so, again, I can't represent him to understand his background.
I know him. Yeah. I mean, he's actually, I've known him since we were kids. He's actually a local artist. Like, he's very well known when it comes to painting the murals around town. He does a lot of volunteer. He helps over at a couple of the camps, either like Camp Whitley. He actually painted the murals there, too, just as a donation.
Okay.
Like, so he's big in the art community.
Okay. So I'll come back and ask, is that a candidate that you would like to see on the Arts Commission? If
we get to pick two of these.
You get to pick three.
Okay, we pick three, but Jennifer being on, obviously being on council then, would be one.
Yeah, we can have up to two council members.
Oh, up to two council. Okay.
Yeah. If you want.
Yeah, so Jennifer, you would be the council member.
So you have three appointments. Two of them are 4-year terms, and one of them is a 3-year term. So you'd have to determine which you want, you know, who you want for which, out of, I guess, that group that was submitted. So, council, it's really up to you to make the decision of which of those three you want.
This is hard because I submitted a lot of the.
But one all, right?
Yeah, actually.
Tad had a couple. But again, if you read through the qualifications, you probably could check all the boxes, you know.
I should mention, I apologize for interrupting you all. I should mention Mike Thomas, actually, I think is employed at Cardinal Health or something like that, Cardinal Health Care, Cardinal something. So I don't think he's actually employed at the Troy Center. He may help there, I'm not sure. But I know that he's been handling the coordination of the bands for First Fridays for multiple years now. So,
and keep in mind, the mayor can have four.
I have four appointments as well.
That may not even be on this list.
In putting these names together, a lot of thought was put into diversity in a lot of different areas, from kinds of art to ages to gender to just across the board. So I think it would be a good representation of our community.
You're talking in reference to Mike?
In reference to all of them in general? Yeah.
Okay.
I only know a couple of these people, so I'm going to have to, trust your judgment on what
they're all great.
I wouldn't put in their names if I didn't think so. I know a couple of them, but the other ones I don't know. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to probably trust your judgment on who you think should be.
Yeah. I don't know how we decide who.
Yeah, I know that we live in good, friendly, neighborly Columbia City, but unfortunately, you're going to have to pick three of those people one way or another.
But
so,
you're
going to
pick the other one.
Well, I'll definitely take them into consideration in my appointments. Okay. I think you all will know, but I am awaiting making my appointments to see who comes out of your group first, to then make the decision of who I'd like to have.
Well, it doesn't mean anything.
So.
And we get three or we get four?
You get three.
Three.
I get four, you get three, and two of them are 4-year terms, one of them is a 3-year term. So you'll have to determine after you pick the three who goes for those.
Really hard.
You were saying a diverse age group. What? I mean, I know Kay and Becky, I know what their ages are.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what Doug and...
The committee is made up of 7 total members.
Okay. Well, we have 6 people here, so.
She's negotiating.
I don't know. I just think they're all great, so it would be really hard to.
Okay.
Is it fair to say the council would like to appoint Councilwoman Romano to the Arts Commission?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now you have two appointments left.
Okay.
Figure out how many after we pick you, then what?
Well, I wrote up this stuff about everyone who's here, so that's kind of my opinion, I guess.
So, again, the background and expertise, we know that you've observed and seen a lot of things that, mm-hmm. you know, so we trust your judgment.
Well, I know Becky has been a big music person. I know she mm-hmm. was a bar director at her church, as well as, you know, the kids.
Music and kids are really important yeah. to Becky.
So I think with her experience with the kids and the adults, I don't know.
Okay.
For music-wise, I think she's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know what Doug and Mike's background is in music, but...
So are everybody consensus towards Becky?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going with what you guys know. I don't know.
There's two. I need one more.
Okay, I just know from being with Mayor Flack and his wife and how active she is with the passages and
right.
things of that nature. Like say, Doug and Mike, I don't know what other than what it says here. I'm
putting Michael Lee's background.
I like Doug for being a professional artist and local murals, but you also need to look at somebody that the art is more in acting and you know, how you know, the plays and skits and what have you. I don't know.
Well, I think the plays and skits, if that's something that you're interested in, sort of falls under Becky
right.
because she does the
right.
The arts partnership and it's
right.
it's children performing and now some adults performing too.
So I didn't know what these other.
So definition under Article 2, Section B, sub item 1, public art includes, but is not limited to, visual, musical, dramatic, or any other aesthetic work that is accessible to the general public. Public art may be located on public or private property that may be publicly or privately owned. Public art, whether respecting content or placement, must meet all city, state, federal laws and regulations. As a reminder of the goals are listed in Article 3, I won't list all of those, but again, I want to reiterate that once you send me three names, I will take that in consideration in making the decision to the other four to create the balance that you're talking about. So whatever balance you choose here, I will complement that with who I choose. Okay.
Or it could be one on the list. Let me correct.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I could definitely, I very well may pick someone on this list.
All right.
Yes.
Well, I like the fact of being a professional artist. I think that carries some weight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think it may be being a professional artist carries some weight to it compared to some of the others, I guess.
My only concern is I haven't spoken to Michael in quite some time, but, like, do you know Michael probably better than I do since it's been years, but, like, is he involved in other things? Like, is he involved in other boards? Is he involved in the community more? Like, I know he does lots of different things when it comes to, like, the father-daughter dance. I mean, he does stuff at the, you know, the Parks Department, and then he helps out with businesses in the area.
Right.
I mean, because it takes a lot for a person to actually be on a board and on a committee and willing to donate their time.
Right.
4 years.
Yeah.
Well, it could be
three
years.
Yeah.
But to me, potentially monthly for that time period.
What do you think?
I think all of them are great. So I
wish Tad was here because Tad's more in the
mm-hmm.
arts when it comes with Jennifer and like knows these people a little bit more firsthand than I.
Mm-hmm.
My
I think. I wish we could appoint all of them because I think they all bring something really important to the commission. So.
And again, it's possible it could, but we just don't know that tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
And the names that you submitted, Jennifer, were they all, if I were appointed, I would serve?
Yes.
Okay.
So with your definition of Michael and his background, does that make this a
kind of a unity group of these three, where all of them bring their own talent to the groups?
I think they all bring a lot of different things. I don't know how well all of them know each other.
Okay.
Well, that's the other thing. How well will the personalities get along?
Well, again, you'll have a board with a president, and there's things a learning curve, and some people might start it and say, well, you know what, this really isn't for me. So we're just trying to find the start. And I'd rather we select it instead of just being appointed. So.
Okay.
I can give you a coin, Jennifer. Heads or tails.
We should do like secret.
Does someone want to do
okay?
Eat, meet, mighty mo or what? I would just go with Doug.
Okay.
And like the Americans have aspects after that.
Thanks, appreciate that.
Please take all the other ones under consideration.
I do have four appointments. So yes to Doug. Is that what I'm hearing?
Consensus? Yes to Doug? Yes.
Okay. Now, who is going to get the three-year term of those three people?
I would say Doug, since he was the last one to be picked.
That's it.
Is that consensus?
Sure. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Would you like to move to the other appointments that are much, much, much easier than that?
Okay. Did you like intentionally put all the awkward things into the meeting?
I do set the agenda, but somebody else to my left tends to do the agenda.
Okay. The other appointment is pretty well self-explanatory, but they've all agreed to stay on for another year. Kathy Gardner for the Board of Zoning Appeals. Scott Gates for RDC. And as well as Tad for the RDC. So that at this point concludes the other appointments, and that will go to Ashley, but she said she wanted a record.
Yeah, so can I have a motion to approve Jennifer Romano, Doug Egoff, and Becky Walser to the Arts Commission, with Doug being the three-year member, and Kathy Gardner to the BZA, Scott Gates to the RDC, and Tad Barger to the RDC.
Second.
Motion by Dan, second by Jenny. I'm sorry.
Do I need to abstain?
It'd probably be worthwhile.
Okay.
All those in favor.
I would imagine. Oh, yeah, all those in favor, somebody shall sign. Okay. Jenny, Dan, and Walt approve, and Jennifer abstains. Thank you.
I will
notify you of my appointments maybe next week.
Does that get announced at a meeting or?
So what?
Does that get announced in a meeting or no?
I mean, it can be. It doesn't. No, it's not mandated if that's what you're asking. But once I get those appointments, I can report them at the next meeting if you'd like. Sure.
Again, thank you. Our goal was to have this completed before December.
We did it.
And we did it. So, but we had a lot of interesting. You think you know what you don't know till you start into it. You say, okay, this is over my head. So I need help.
Okay, then we will move to department reports. Thomas.
The guys are going to absolutely love me because I'm going to repeat everything I said with a little extra. You know, if we get to 8 o'clock, most of us have got 16 in. So we need to...
I can give you a lot of time off if you want.
No, that's good. I'm fine. 102's generator is now on the blink, and we've got ARMS coming up to take a look at that. The pump issue we were having is corrected, but now we've got another issue. While they're here, I've got a ball valve on 101 that needs to be rebuilt. Just parts and labor to get the ball valve rebuilt in that engine. So they're going to do that while they're here. We had a very successful training burn. The Chiefs Association was invited to put together a group of them. And then per the mayor's request, we set a list of charges for other than us to burn at the burn facility that would help offset the cost for maintenance and then the manpower for us to supply the double IC for those trainings, because our guys have to be there for those trainings. So they came, they did a 6-hour burn and had a fantastic time in training, and the city will have the reimbursements then to put into an account. And I know Mayor and Rosie met on what we were going to do with those funds long term as we accrue them. So our gas meters, I put in next year's budget to order gas meters. When we checked on the price of the gas, they're the multi-gas meters that we use for hydrogen cyanide, hydrogen sulfide, carbon monoxide, oxygen levels, things like that. We wanted to see where our pricing was, because we were told that the price of those meters were going to go up before the end of the year, up to the $30,000. That price increase has not occurred yet. So we're at a kind of a moment where we can order those $12,000 cheaper than if we wait till the end of the year to order them. So we're going to go ahead and do that. So that's good news. Shane, Caudell, Matt Minear, Rodney Usley, and myself went to Huntington today to compare some software that we're going to possibly be changing over. If you're interested in that, I'll cut this a little short, because I know Chip will come down here and tell me if I don't end this. So if you're interested in that, we're looking at changing some software out. It'll actually be a little cheaper if we do a 5-year commitment. And then Mike McGregor has been working with a truck manufacturer to get us more of a detailed ballpark quote. A water replacement truck for 101 would be, I'm sorry, to get rid of 102 and buy a new engine and rotate trucks through. That's coming up in 2024. There is over a 500-day build time to get a fire truck built. So if we order this year, that puts us in, I'm sorry, order next year, that puts us into 2024 before we get that truck. So something we're probably going to have to pursue here shortly.
How did the volunteer program, did that produce any people that's willing to be a part of our group?
Yes, we do have a group that we've voted on. We're still doing. We've got a few still coming and trickling in, and we're doing some interviews with those as well. And we've put on, I want to say, Dan, it's 6. I'd have to actually grab them. We put on 6. One of them had an issue that we've had to deal with here this week, but yes, it did produce some.
So the process for those, Tom, just really quick for the council, the process as those new individuals come on is obviously lots of training. They have to get their firefighter 1 and 2, correct?
Correct.
And then once they get through all of the training and all that kind of stuff, that's when they actually can suit up and potentially go into a fire, correct?
Well, yes. That actually brings up, and I misspoke, it's that they have to have fire 1 to go into a structure. They have to have fire 2 to get hired full time.
Gotcha, okay.
But there is, yes. What happens is we have gotten applicants in the past.
Thank you.
And those applicants, when they find out what the training requirements are to get to their firefighter 1, we lose, I would say, 80 to 90% of them. Because it's crazy amounts of hours. I'll be straight up. If I were to have to go through today what these applicants have to go through, I don't know if I would have done it. It's that in depth, and it's just, so I know some of my volunteers have some concerns about the turnout gear issue because we're not issuing it right away. But I am not. And I repeat, I am not going to put them in brand new gear when we have a turnover rate of these guys that is crazy. And for the city to go out and buy brand new turnout gear for them right now until we see what their commitment level is, I'm not in for that.
So when they get through their training, they will be prepped and ready to go. Everything will be ready to go. Questions of Tom? Thank you. Mike.
We're running the new 8-inch water main down to Bowen Center, the new Bowen Center. And then another, we had some other new housing over on Cottonwood in that river bluff.
Question to Mike. Thanks, Mike. Gary.
All right, I got several changes going on here. Officer Porter and Officer Kelly has submitted their resignation letter. Officer Porter's last day was yesterday. Officer Kelly's last day is November 26th. Both are going to the city of Fort Wayne, and I'd like to just wish them well. And if you happen to see them, wish them well in their new adventures. Sergeant Calhoun has been moved to Detective Sergeant. Officer Cook and Officer LaRue have been moved to the detective position to fill Chip and Nick's position. Officer Wooldridge has been promoted to Sergeant, which he will replace Sergeant Calhoun for road sergeant. Officer Branicky has taken and passed his Part 107, which is a remote pilot's test that they have to have to be able to operate a drone, and he will be taking over the drone program from Officer Kelly. The Veterans Marathon went well, thanks to Gary, Joanne, and Sam. I don't know how much Gary had involved, but Gary. Patrolling for Presence is gearing up. It's right around the corner, looking for donations to make the children within the city limits have an awesome Christmas. Dispatch, they received new molded earpieces, and they seem to be working out well. I mean, they fit tight in their ear. They're kind of like what the referees have in the NFL that can run up and down, so there's no play. Or they had to go to Warsaw to get them molded, so they've got those in now, and they seem to be very pleased with them.
Question, Gary.
Forgot about my hiring process. Board of Works did approve that I can open up a hiring process. Last time they did approve three, which put me at a plus one after Officer Pepler left, and put me at a plus one after that. Now I'm at a negative one with these two guys leaving, so they've approved me to open up a hiring process.
Did you ever close it?
It was good for a while.
If Gary's ready, questions?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. Thank you. Terry.
Due to Gary's changes, it caused me to have to rebuild 8 computers in the last 2 days, so to get his guys up to speed. Trying to set a meeting up with Mark Green and SOS Communications to look over the lighting plan for the Eagle Park to see if we can add cameras on the light poles out there so we can monitor that park. That's all I got.
Question to Terry. Thank you, Chip.
We started the engineering for 300 East and 100 South for future sewer line a couple weeks ago, and we also started an engineering study to provide water to Northern Heights, and I think that's about it. Been busy, but high level.
Question from Chip.
Thank you.
Rosie.
Thanks.
A couple of things for your information. A lot of things have happened since the last time I was with you, which was the first meeting in October, so I won't go all the way back except to say there's a lot of things happening. US 30, we have had a lot of action recently, and the Pell study, planning and environmental linkage study, is happening right now. There was last Friday, there was what they're calling office hours, kind of open house-ish hours, where they come and basically listen to concerns and thoughts and all those things from the public. There were a fair amount of people there. It was in the library. I know they're going to do another one of those probably mid-December. But they are having a public information meeting on December 5th in Fort Wayne at Sweetwater Sound from 5 to 7 p.m. with a presentation at 6 p.m. So I'm guessing they're taking comments from 5 to 6, doing a presentation 6 to 7. But nevertheless, there's a lot of movement there, and we have encouraged NDOT specifically to strengthen the communication piece, because there's a lot of information that's coming out in the media that we're not knowing about as the US 30 Coalition, and we want to make sure we get our information out to the public on those things. So I would encourage you, if you have a moment, to either go to one of these or go to one of the office hours that's open at the library, because they're taking a lot of information, and what I heard, and Melanie, I know you were there. I don't know if you were there much, if you stayed pretty long after me or not, but it seemed to be pretty consensus that safety was sorely lacking in US 30, things that we already know, by the way, and that we've told them for years now. But they were hearing safety. We talked about some pedestrian crossings in the future when it grows up to be whatever it's going to be, making sure we're not bisected as a community, making sure the aesthetic appeal is still there, and certainly figuring out how they incorporate all of the different houses and you know, shops and things like that that are along US 30 while not disrupting too much of that. So there's a lot of good conversation. Again, I was there more as a resident, but then I kind of had to put my mayor hat on for a moment and stuff. But long story short is I thought it was a really good good session. And again, I had to leave early, but I think it went well. But they're doing a public information meeting, which is different than the open house hours, December 5th in Fort Wayne at Sweetwater from 5 to 7. From a calendar standpoint, we had the Bowen Center groundbreaking a week ago, last Monday. Great day, beautiful weather. It was chilly and windy, but still beautiful weather for groundbreaking. Groundbreaking. We're excited that you can see all the progress happening there, which is great. We had insurance meetings throughout the last couple of weeks for our employees. Very minor increase. Some of that we can attribute to claims being down pretty dramatically from last year, but also the clinic being involved this year I think has made a big difference in some of those numbers. There's a part of that that certainly the individuals are getting going to the clinic that, by the way, they're sharing a cost with us on that, but they're going to the clinic. They're getting some prescriptions there. They're getting some blood tests there, things like that that we would normally be paying for some of those after their deductible. So that's all good stuff happening. Had a lot of time with the schools, and we had a youth council meeting and lots of things happening. There is a lot of conversation, going back to the US 30 for one more moment, and that is there's a lot of conversation about maybe creating, making it one of the nation's first smart highways, which then allows federal funding to come into the picture. Smart highways being the ability for potential autonomous vehicles in the future, but more focused on how do we make it connected to the, not us, NDOT, how do they make it connected to the grid using pavement markers, using pavement that uses fly ash and other things that are more environmentally sensitive and more green. All those kind of components. Again, I'm on the fringe of that kind of conversation, but at the end of the day, looking for ways in which to make it more attractive. Thursday and Friday of this week, City Hall is closed for Thanksgiving. I will not be in tomorrow, but as always, you can get a hold of me from my cell phone. Next week, I'm having a day with the mayor for an individual who's going to come in, and we're going to show him around the city, which that's exciting. We also have our exit conference with State Board of Accounts next week. We're scoring some downtown revitalization requests for qualifications.
Correct.
And just a lot of things happening in the city right now. So usually the holidays we slow down, and this is the second year in a row it has not. So really happy. Also, one last thing. On Wednesday, next Wednesday afternoon, the Clubston is having their open house. You know all the renovations they've been doing over there. They're doing an open house next Wednesday, the 30th. I think it's maybe from 4 to 6. I'll be there around 4. So, Walt.
Whittla County Regional Sewer District. It's been a topic for months to years now. We are on the home stretch again. The whole intent behind this is septic system elimination in Whittla County. And so we've had a lot of environmental events going on. We've had some pushback. And so we've worked through the pushback. We're waiting for the final superior judge to make his ruling out of Indianapolis. So we're comfortable by all indications that we will move forward. And we've actually hired the contractor. I mean, everything is starting to stage, but at the end of the day,
the septic system elimination will come together. So I'll keep you posted.
Thank you, Walt. Dan?
Bringing up again the naming of that road. Mm-hmm. Out there, we're, now that we got a building being built out there, yeah. Plus got a call from City Hall asking about the address before
yes.
The new building, okay. Both new buildings out there. And I'm like, well, these numbers will work, but the road name maybe not.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, it'd be nice to
yep.
get that moving a little bit.
I will work on that.
We got the Bowen Center and
the Coon Hunters.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, we
yep.
need to get those established so when they get things made, their checks and whatever made up, and business cards and things, we don't have to rebuild. We probably need to move on that.
Okay.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to name Morse's Drive.
Yeah, get it on our register so our lane miles count there.
Oh, one thing, start addressing some of those buildings back.
Yeah,
there.
For a safety purpose would be really
exactly.
good. Yep, so. I hear you.
Other than that,
okay.
Would that potentially go to the dye development, or would that come off of the county road?
I think probably that would stop because in the dye development, what we're kind of been chatting with them about is that that actually is a walkway that can turn into a temporary roadway for emergency purposes.
Right.
So I think the road through the park would stop, their road would stop, and then that would be kind of an interim. Yeah. Good question. Jennifer.
Okay, real quickly.
Yes.
on Friday is the Christmas parade, which means that Santa will be coming to town.
Yes.
Santa will be here on Fridays and Saturdays from 5 to 8 p.m. and on Christmas Eve from noon to 3 p.m. Santa's parade will be fantastic this year. And immediately following the parade, there will be a tree lighting ceremony with lots of different people in the community, lots of kids involved, so definitely come out and check it out. And with the coming and going of the parade also means that the Columbia City Residential lighting contest begins. And this year, I am vowing to get it done at the beginning of the month. So.
Okay. So how many days do I have to get my lights up, Jennifer?
Hurry. For real, though, I'd kind of like to be able to definitely start judging by the first weekend in December. If people could have them up this weekend, that'd be great. If they want to send an email and say, hey, come look at my yard, send it to jromano@columbiacity.net. That's the email, right?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's always a big task to undertake, the lighting judging around the city.
Adding streets.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Like, wow, this wasn't your last.
It's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem sometimes.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It takes a very long time.
Yes.
We really do try to drive up and down every street.
Every street.
Have you seen the bio of when it started? Years back.
I just little
I gave it to
her. Did you? Okay, that's pretty neat to read.
Yeah.
How it
developed.
Back
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been going on for a long time.
Jerry Brown?
Yeah.
And this year will be not too bad because the boundaries haven't changed yet, but next year I'll be calling everybody.
The council district changed, yes.
Figure out if this is mine or yours.
Yes. Thank you. Jenny.
Just have a good happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. No press? Audience? Okay, we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Oh.